Blog Talk Radio. Fastlane Sports Nation. That's right. We are back, even if it's just for one more week. We are back tonight, coming to you live from the 357 Woodworks Studios. Tonight, we have a very special guest with us. We've got Christina here for one more show left in 2021. We will break down the champions on both dirt and asphalt. We've got hockey going full tilt right now. The NFL is about halfway through the regular season. We've got college football and so much more, plus our special guest coming up in just a little bit. And we also have the penalty box coming up. All of that, so much more, coming up tonight right here live on the Fastlane Sports Show, only on the Flicks and Sticks Radio Network. So keep it tuned right here for the next 2 hours. It's going to be a blast as we rock out 2021 and get ready for the holidays and a new year and a new season coming up. So keep it tuned right here. All night, we'll be here.
Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
Oh, yeah, life in the fast lane. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. I'm your host, Pete. Thank God it's the weekend. Several weeks now, but we are back tonight for a all new special episode. You know, we've had some things going on the last few weekends, just hasn't worked out. Gearing up for the holidays, times are getting busy. We got lots of stuff going on with families, with work, and whatnot. So we came back tonight because we have a special guest that wanted to be on the show before this year was up. So we were able to work them in to the schedule for tonight. After tonight, if we are back on the air, it will be a special announcement show. So just watch Facebook or Twitter for any special announcement of us being on air. But as of right now, this is the planned last show of the year for 2021, season 3 of the Fastlane Sports Show on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. It's been a great year. It's been a busy year. The year has flown by. It seems like we just started the NASCAR season, and now here we are crowning a brand new champion, first time Cup Series champion. We've got champions in dirt, some of them not first time champions, but we've got lots of champions to talk about tonight. Dirt, asphalt, we've got hockey that we'll talk about, plus our special guest coming up in just a few minutes. It will be Atomic Speedway. They will be on the show tonight. Charlie will be joining us here in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about the Speedway, a brand new Speedway to the show. I've wanted to get to Atomic. I've wanted to get Atomic on the show. They're another Ohio Speedway. They will be on the show tonight. So we will talk to him. We'll get some info about the track. We'll talk about their season that they had this year. We'll talk about what's coming up in 2022. They've got some big news. They've got a lot of things that's going to happen next year for them. Some of it will be first time things for them. So we will we'll get Charlie on in just a few minutes. He'll be here around the 8:30 mark. We'll talk to him. But until then, I am joined by my sidekick, my co-host, my South Florida friend, who I'm sure is enjoying not 25 degree weather down there and snow and icy rain and whatnot. Christina, this is it. This is the last show of 2021. Barring any special edition shows that we might do between now and the end of the year, but as of right now, this is it. This is the last planned show of the year, season 3 of the Fastlane Sports Show, live on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Where did the year go, Christina? It flew by.
It did. We were at multiple racetracks all across the country. It was a crazy year. And just so you know, it's cold in Florida right now. And we are in a wind advisory. So, yeah. And we have flood watch. So.
Oh, well, I don't like the flood watch, but what is the temperature currently right now? I'm going to ask.
It's 76.
Oh, my God, it's 76. How are you guys managing? Do you have the heated blankets out?
We don't own those, actually. Luckily for Jim and I, because, you know, we came from the north.
Right.
We were out today in shorts and T-shirts, actually. So we dress, you know, like we are from the north when you come south, and everybody else around us was like dressed for winter. I mean, you know, but no, it's only cold, I think, for me when the wind picks up. But we do have 35 to 40 mile an hour winds right now. So that's the craziest part about it all. But, you know, such as South Florida with rain, flooding, and wind. So, and all the races canceled around us, too, because of the same issue. No racing in Florida right now, either.
Well, there's not much racing to be had anywhere right now, but I know there are several tracks wrapping up out west and down south. There are some local tracks that are, but for the most part, Christina, NASCAR, all the series, ARCA, all the racetracks up here, Outlaw, All Stars, Lucas Oil, everybody's fine. The racing season, for the most part, 99.9% is over and done, and we have champions to talk about. We'll talk about those. We've got another Ohio Speedway, Christina, coming to the show tonight. Charlie from Atomic Speedway down in Chillicothe, Ohio, down around Columbus, right about in the middle of the state. It is a dirt track. They will be coming on and talking to us tonight. We'll talk to him and get some history about the track. We'll find out how 2021 treated them and how they are gearing up and already getting ready for 2022. They've got some news to break with us. We'll talk about all of that coming up. But, Christina, we've got some hockey. We'll talk about hockey later in the second hour because that's going full swing. We've got the NFL going full swing. College football is going full swing. But let's start with, obviously, the first big one and the first big championship, a brand-new champion, Christina, in the NASCAR Cup Series at the top level. And it was Mr. Kyle Larson getting that win, winning 10 races throughout the year, Christina, and winning the final race to wrap up the championship. It was just a miraculous year. It was revenge tour, I think, Christina. I'm calling it Kyle Larson's revenge tour for what happened last year, coming back this year. He was on a mission from Daytona, from the Daytona 500. You could tell this man was on a mission.
Well, I mean, if anyone doubted his ability to race and, you know, wheel a race car, that's part of your problem. And, I mean, secondly, if you think that him being in Hendrick Equipment wasn't going to prove some kind of fact that he knows how to wheel a race car, especially in great equipment, I mean, I'm not shocked. I picked him. I think almost everyone in our fantasy league picked him as a playoff driver as well. So, I mean, he just proved week in and week out why he is definitely one of the best, if not the greatest, you know, race car driver, not just NASCAR driver, but a, you know, race car driver, motorsports driver. Mm-hmm. He's wheeled everything. He was in a USAC car, if I'm not mistaken, last night or the night before. So, yeah. I mean, come on. He is the kid doesn't stop.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he won at Vegas this year. Vegas, the fourth race of the season, was his first win of the year. And then he kind of let the competition, you know, hang around. He didn't get another win until Charlotte. But then he won Charlotte. He won at Sonoma. He won the All-Star race. He won at Nashville. He won at Watkins Glen. And then the playoffs came around, and he said, okay, you guys have had your fun. I'm going to win five of these. And goes on to win at Bristol, Charlotte, the Roval, Texas, Kansas, and Phoenix. He was just on fire. It didn't matter if it was a short track, intermediate track, a super speedway, a road course. He was winning it everywhere.
Yeah, and now we're going to see what happens next year with a brand new race car. Maybe that'll be the, you know, the equalizer, so to speak. But, I mean, all in all, he had a fabulous year. You know, nothing to be ashamed of. That it was such a magical season for them on NASCAR, on dirt. I mean, he won every big race you could think of.
Yeah.
I mean, besides winning the Daytona, you know, he didn't win Daytona 500 or anything like that, but, you know, besides winning that, not winning those, he literally had the year, you know, might as well give him Driver of the Year, give him some awards, and be done, you know? It is what it is, and everybody wants to hate and be haters and let him hate and continue to hate because he's going to continue to win.
Yeah. I know one person kicking themselves for not getting him, and evidently a company that did not believe in him. But Tony Stewart even said after Kyle Larson won it, you know, he's upset that he let Ford sway his position, you know, his thoughts about, you know, he wanted Kyle Larson and didn't get him. And look what he did for Hendrick. So who knows what he could have done for Stewart Haas Racing even. We saw the type of year they had. Kevin Harvick finished year without a win. That team was not very successful this year. I don't know if Kyle Larson would have had maybe the same year this year that he did, you know, if he was with Stewart, who knows? But I know Tony Stewart is kicking himself for not going after Kyle Larson. But even Tony said, you know, he's one of the greatest drivers he's seen. And from the aspect of all racing, like you mm-hmm. said, Driver of the Year, dirt, sprint, yeah. late model, NASCAR, asphalt, it didn't matter. The kid was on fire everywhere.
Exactly. And I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, and that was to, you know, win races. And he did everything the way, you know, he set forth to do it. And I mean, him and, you know, in the dirt world and being back in a sprint car and seeing him in a late model, I mean, you can tell he was born to race. And that's where it all gets started, right on these dirt tracks and, you know, running these dirt tracks in Ohio and Pennsylvania, even down here in Florida a little bit. But, you know, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, and I will still stand by it. If you can win on tracks in Ohio and Pennsylvania, you're doing something very good in a race car, whether it's a late model or a sprint car. I mean, your future is bright, so that's all there is to it. Dirt racing's where it all happens.
Yep. We will talk about the other champions in NASCAR in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series in the second hour. But yes, Kyle Larson definitely proving this year he was out to prove a point, and I think he proved it. Like I said, I believe from the beginning when Hendrick signed him, he was going to be on a revenge tour, and I think that's exactly what it was. along the lines of NASCAR, of course, this year we had our first ever Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR Pick'em Challenge League, and we had – our first winner of this league was Debbie. She kind of was the Kyle Larson of our league. She came into the playoffs in third or fourth place after the reset and took over the points in the second week of the playoffs and never looked back. She was able to hold off Jeremy, who kind of made a run there towards the end, but she held him off by 21.5 points. There's your half points, Christina. They came into play this year in our Pick'em Challenge League, but she was able to hold Jeremy off, and really Jeremy was only her only competition there the last two or three weeks of the season. So congratulations to Debbie on winning the first league or the first year of our show league in NASCAR. Of course, we will have some other Pick'em leagues coming up with some hockey and some football coming up here in after the first of the year. So you guys want to watch for that. But thank you to Debbie and Jeremy, Nick, Chris, Ty, Matt, Craig, you, Christina, everybody who joined the league. Tasha, she wasn't she was going right there towards the end of the season. Of course, she was her daughter was having a baby. She was in the hospital. She kind of opted to not go on and play through the playoffs. So, but we thank her for playing throughout the year, though. It was fun. Hopefully she'll be back next year. I know that you and her kind of had a little girls powwow there to try and take Jeremy out there midway through the season. Almost got him, but no, I hope everybody had fun. I thank everybody for joining in and participating. I thought it was fun, Christina. I had a blast. Of course, I wasn't, you know, in it to win. I wanted to see somebody else get the trophy, but I had fun watching everybody else have fun.
Yeah, it's always fun to do these kinds of things, and I enjoyed it. I mean, we used to do it on Slicks and Sticks for all three divisions, so we backed it only to one this year. Which
yeah.
made it better for Pete. You don't have to calculate all those points.
Right.
But I think we should do one with dirt racing. You know, that would be something to see. But a very hard try, I think, to do. But it might be doable. We'd have to see. But no, it was all fun and games, and I enjoyed doing it. It was a fun time. But, I mean, we'll see how hockey and football go. Football's not my strong suit.
No, it's not really mine either, but, you know, I think we'll have, we'll do a playoff thing for that. We did that a couple years ago. We all kind of just amongst the show, we kind of picked each week who we thought would win and kind of did a little thing. I think we'll do something along those lines, as well for, the show. We'll do a little pick 'em challenge playoff thing for the NFL. And then we'll figure out, I'm going to work with you here in the next few weeks on figuring out something to do also for hockey, maybe a playoff thing for hockey. But, we will talk about all of that in the coming weeks. We've got a while for that stuff. But, right now, Christina, let's go ahead. We'll take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back on the other side of the break, we have with us Mr. Charlie from Atomic Speedway. We'll get him on. We'll talk to him about the track. We'll find out some history about the track. We'll find out how 2021 was, and we'll talk to him about what's to come in 2022 as well. And then after that interview in the second hour, Christina and I will go ahead and talk more about the NASCAR championships. We'll talk more about the World of Outlaws and the Lucas Oil late model championships as well. So a lot more coming up. We also have a penalty box coming up later in the show. So keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. We'll be right back after this quick commercial.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moment. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
Kick the dust up.
All right, welcome back to the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. Thank you for tuning in today. We have a special guest with us tonight. We have with us Charlie from Atomic Speedway. Good evening, Charlie. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing just fantastic. We came on tonight. I think this is going to be the last show for us for the year. Of course, holidays coming up, everybody's going to be pretty busy and everything. So there's really no more racing to talk about. So I think we're going to, after tonight, I think we're going to take the rest of the year off and kind of join our fellow racetracks in the off season. I'm sure that you guys wrapped up last Saturday. How was that night?
That was interesting. That was my first derby. I'm not really a derby guy, and which we had a really interesting 24-hour enduro race. I'm not really an enduro guy either, but the derbies are they're an animal of their own. I'm not sure unless it's A, your thing, or B, I don't even know what the B would be. It's odd. But it was awesome. We wrapped it up. I was so happy to be done with 2021, just in how the whole year went and just the turns and the twists and turns the whole time. But it was great. We ended the year strong. We were so happy with the way everything went towards the end of the season, and the positive feedback that we were getting gave us massive momentum moving into 2022. And then when we started breaking the schedule, it now things are just insane. So.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely talk about 2022. I know you're excited to talk about that. A lot of big things coming up for that year. We'll talk about this year, but let's break down a little bit of Atomic Speedway's history for some of our listeners who might not even know really where it's at or what it's about. It is a dirt track, but what is some of the history with Atomic? How long has it been open? How long has it been around? How long have you been a part of Atomic Speedway?
Well, I guess the history of the track started years ago, like 1953. It was in the 50s. Just really a group of businessmen, local businessmen in Chillicothe that had the need for speed, and they really just kind of developed their own even series. They had like a Chillicothe Stock Car Racing Association or something like that they had started, and really just had a passion for racing. And when you see the cars that those guys drove and you see the conditions that they drove in, it was just, those were people that were definitely, sick with the disease and they really just wanted to go race. And it has evolved and it's been through a few different owners over the years. And it really picked up a lot of steam and became a big hit. I remember when I was, man, I can't remember how old I was, 8, 9, 10 years old, and seeing Jeff Gordon win there. And I think he was like 14 or 15, and he was there because it was one of the few tracks that would let him race at his age. And it was just, when you're a kid and you see another kid out there just ripping in a wing sprint car, I mean, that's a drive. I grew up out there. I actually grew up in the hills of, it's Huntington Township. I went to Huntington High School, and it's a very rural kind of interesting community, and I remember at one point we lived in a single wide trailer not far from the track, and you could just hear it rumble in the hills throughout the Saturday nights, and it really just kind of sticks with you. It's awesome, and I had the racing disease from then on. The track evolved and it had multiple owners that had came in and added different things and different pieces of form and function to make it what it is today. And some of our advertising, it actually says the world's fastest 3/8 mile dirt track. It's bad fast. I mean, this place, you can ask guys in sprint cars, and I mean, even Larson and some of those guys, they all race there. And when you're up on the wheel there and it's tacky, hot laps qualifying, I mean, you're smoking. The track record there is under 11 seconds. You're talking about, 130 some miles an hour in a pretty, basically in a high bank parking lot. And it's awesome. And one of the last guys that had it that had great success there was Jim Neer, and he's the one that came in when we took the track over in August and really helped us get the surface to where we wanted it to be. And I cannot thank him enough. I mean, he's really made a lot of the difference to help bring the All-Stars and the Outlaws and all these other series that are now coming. Just they want to come back. I was amazed when we were getting the feedback we were, but I left. I actually was gone. I left here in the early 90s, moved to Florida, went to school down there, and basically came back for a short stint and made my home in Central Florida and came up and was racing asphalt. and I come up through asphalt, and we did like a development program, and ended up in ARCA, and ended up in trucks, and I swore I would never come back to home, and here I am. So my big venture was a few years ago. A good friend of mine, Andy Hillenberg, you know, I wanted to race, and we got in a late model somehow. I don't know how, and I tried that, and I wasn't a fan, and I asked Andy, I was like, you know, what do I need to do? And he's like, get a sprint car. They're awesome. And literally by the luck of the draw, and I don't know how you get this lucky, but he goes, hey, I think there's a guy by the name of Danny Smith. He was a buddy of mine way back in the day, and call him and he'll help you. And if anybody knows anything about sprint car racing, Danny Smith is a legend. I mean, he is, you know, he's in the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, and I mean, he has done everything, and you know, dude's still racing. He just won the, I think it's the USCS South. You know, and Danny's like 117 years old. So, but he's a great guy, and he's been a tremendous help for me. And I still suck at sprint cars, but you know, I swear I'm going to get better at it because it is that much fun. And now here we are at the racetrack.
Yeah. If somebody was to give you a title at Atomic Speedway, what would it be?
Glutton, maybe. I'm not pretty much at this point, we're doing everything. I've got, I would say more honestly, it would be, you know, I'm doing more of the business management. I have a couple of guys. I mean, dirt tracks are very thin when it comes to help. I mean, it's probably just like everybody else today when it comes to the job market, but, I've really just tried to get my handle on, the X's and O's of the finances. I brought in some great people to help. The concessions was a kind of a sore spot for the track for years, and I wanted to try to tighten that up. I was actually helping this year before the whole transition took place, and I was, you know, kind of things came together a lot faster than I was planning on them to. But there's a couple of guys that have been there for we're so lucky because our staff is. A lot of these guys have been here for like 30 years. I mean, like they love this racetrack. I mean, through all these owners, these people are still here and it's awesome. So, at this point, you know, outside of owner, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could really, I think everybody that's got a smaller dirt track in the United States, you're just kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. You're just trying to get it done. Whatever it is, just get it done.
A little bit about the track. What size, what banking are we talking about? A little bull ring? Is it big, wide open, long straightaways for some of the listeners who maybe have never been to Atomic Speedway? What would they, when they show up, what would they expect to see when they sit in the grandstands besides a beautiful raceway?
Yeah, it's a 3/8 mile. You know, I would call it a semi-high bank. Maybe, I mean, it would be a high bank. It's we're actually in the process of putting down all new clay, and with that all new clay, we're going to change it and try to get like a true progressive banking and use a little bit more science to come up with how we want our banking. But it averages right now about 14, 15 degrees, and obviously it flattens out in the bottom. But it is a wide track. We had some amazing races, and y'all know that, you know, Ohio and Pennsylvania and Indiana is a hotbed for sprint cars. And we had some amazing endorsements from some guys, you know, towards the end of the year about how much smoother the track was and how racy it became. And, you know, it wouldn't take rubber and it was still tacky in the middle of the night, you know, all those things. So it's a multi-groove track. I mean, the top is fast, you know, I mean, like nope. It's hard to shake that when you're a high bank track, but we're going to work on it. We want to go back to, you know, getting back to, you know, three lanes of racing, and it's a beautiful facility. It's wide, and it's got a great surface. We're hoping to do some upgrades to the facilities, not because they're bad, just because we want to bring them. I kind of made some statements earlier about, you know, taking the track to the next level, and you know, I'd love to have, you know, stadium style bleachers and really kind of bring it. You know, just to that, you know, it's never going to be a NASCAR track. I mean, maybe it will, I don't know, but if I could make the facilities, you know, as state of the art as I can, you know, for a short track, that's definitely something I want to do. And it's fast. And we did a good job there at the end of the year of not, you know, kind of keeping the dust down I did the same thing that most good dirt tracks do. And, you know, you kind of, you blow the dust off, do a couple of the heat races, and then off you go in your features. And that's what we had. And we had some amazing racing at the end of the year. It was some of the best in the country, hands down. And we had different streaming services there that were just amazed at how good our racing was. We had Lee Jacobs came through the field, and it was insane. Like, he come around the box. Cole Duncan just spanks everybody at our track, and he has for there was a night where he had another obligation, so he didn't get to come to Atomic, and I put it on Facebook because I was like, hey, Cole's not coming, and I think we got like six more cars. Because people, they actually thought they had a shot, you know, with Cole not being there. So,
yeah.
But, you know, we came through the field for the, I think it was one of the fast races in the bottom middle. And, you know, and was coming. I mean, coming. So, Hod's last race, he ended up over the fence, which was perfect because I think about like the dirt track race in Charlotte, you know, he ended up on his lid, which, you know, I think that's just how hot is. And that's a fitting exit, I think, for anybody when they get hot on his lid for his final show.
Yeah, that's crazy. We are talking with Charlie Vest of Atomic Speedway. He's joining us tonight on the Barbasol Shea phone lines. Charlie, a little bit about Atomic. If somebody was to come down to catch a race down there, what days do you guys race, and then what? How many divisions do you guys usually run on a normal race weekend?
We mainly race on Saturday nights, but we are going. We have a lot of multi-day shows because we've actually in the process of. We're technically still in the process of taking over the full ownership of the track because we're working into the deal. There's 20 acres behind the facility that we're going to turn into camping, which now makes those multi-day shows, you know, possible and makes them actually highly profitable, and everybody needs that. So,
yeah.
With what we're doing on Saturdays and doing the multi-days now, if you know we are in Southern Ohio, we are about an hour and 15, 20 minutes south of Columbus, right off of 23 between Chillicothe and Waverly. And it's not too far off the highway. It's very easy to get to, and once you're there, you don't really need to leave because we have a cool facility. We have plenty to do, and that's something we're also doing. You know, as anybody that's a track owner and promoter, you know, the competition for entertainment these days is tough, especially when you're talking about live venue. And we're doing a lot to enhance the fan experiences once you get them there, a lot like what NASCAR and NHRA and all those guys are doing because they've learned that, okay, when I get you there, now what?
Right.
And the fans want to know – yeah, they want to know what now what is, and, you know, which a lot has to do with kids. And that's something else that is in our long-term plan is we want to build a great, you know, like a little quarter mile or eighth mile or something like a mill bridge at Atomic. And we've got to do a better job in our community of getting the kids involved. And that's a big time goal of mine is we've got to get the schools and the community and the kids. We've got to get them more involved to help grow the sport. In our area specifically.
That's cool. What kind of cars can people expect to see when they come down there? Late model sprint cars, I'm assuming, some other divisions like that.
Yes. Sorry. You did ask that. I jumped right over that. Sprint cars, late models. We're going to run, limited lates, like steel block crates. We have sport mods and modifieds, which they call B mods and A mods, and different parts of the country. We are bringing back the sport compact class. We are bringing back the 305, the Race Saver 305 sprint cars. So we're really trying to diversify the show a little bit. A lot of these. I call them support series, and some people get offended by that. You know, don't get offended. It's what they are.
Right.
But we are trying to do a rotation because, like last year, you know, our sport mods on our modifieds ran almost every week. Well, when you're running a class that's kind of built, you know, to be economical, you can't go to the racetrack every weekend. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. And so I want to give them time off. Now, if you're lucky enough that you can go race every weekend, then you know, hopefully all of us tracks will get together and have the right rules package that they can go run somewhere else. You know what I mean? They can go run Moeller or Skyline or Portsmouth or wherever. I don't, you know, I want people to have options because they need to be happy. And that's something that I think a lot of people lose track of when it comes to local racing is it's fun. I've done the professional racing thing and it's tough and it's expensive and it's a business. This is not a business. And for very few, it's a business and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And if you can't go to the track, include your family, have a good time. I mean, what are you doing? Like go play softball, like do something. You know what I mean? Like that's,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, I tell the guys and the drivers being like, I'm not being rude to them. I'm just like, guys, like you spend a lot of money and it is stressful and it's hard. And you know, I look at it this way. Every racer has the same budget. Everybody spends about three times as much as they should. So whether you're a sprint car guy and you're spending hundreds of thousands or you're a four-cylinder guy and you're spending tens of thousands, either way, you're probably spending money you don't have. That's just the nature of a racer. And so we've added, you know, three or four classes this year. We'll run four, depending on the night, maybe five, but we try to get everybody out by, you know, 10 to 11 o'clock. That's the sweet spot. Get everybody on the road so they can have a safe trip home.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, you know, like you said, it seems like anymore the sprints get all of the talk, you know, 410 sprints, World of Outlaws, All-Stars, you know, they run the 410 sprints. Those drivers get a lot of publicity, but you know, we try and talk even on this show. We get wrapped up in the sprint cars sometimes, but then, you know, Christina and I, we kind of break it down to the other divisions at some of the local tracks, late models, modifieds, and whatnot. So, but, you know, we love all the drivers. Like you said, everybody is important to you. The sprint cars just, you know, they sometimes make the headlines and they bring in a lot more of the fans. So, Charlie, for you, we all know how rough 2020 was. I think a lot of people were ready to get out of 2020 and into 2021 and get that season started. A lot of people were on the edge of their seat to see what was going to happen for this year because we all knew, you know, what happened last year with things getting shut down, couldn't go anywhere. A lot of tracks were struggling to get weekend shows in just to get something going for last year. Coming into 2021, how focused were you guys to run every weekend, put on shows, get the fans back to the speedway and know that they were coming back to a safe environment and to pull off a successful 2021? How important was it and how hard did you guys work to make 2021 successful?
Well, we actually just took over the ownership in August, but I was racing, you know, at Atomic in 2020, well, as much as you could, and 2021. And I know the previous owner, he and I actually went to school together. You know, everybody was just chomping at the bit. I mean, you know, it's like putting racehorses in a stable for a year. I mean, everybody just could not wait to get out. But then you had all these obstacles, and you had these hoops that you had to jump through, and I don't say that callously. I mean, we were all trying to be as careful as we could, and we were trying to keep everybody as safe as you could. But I think y'all, you know, saw the pictures of tracks once everybody finally got to get out, and there were no super spreader events, and there were no, you know, nothing was ever traced back that I know of to racetracks as being a major contributor to anything. But people just wanted out so bad. I think it ended up being a little easier than what everybody thought because the crowd came running. You know what I mean? Like they wanted to be out. Like they didn't care. You know what I mean? Like just God, please get me out. I mean, I want to do something. And you know, the smell of the race fuel, that's as addictive as anything on the planet. And people were, you know, they were a little stressed, but they, you know, the good thing is they had all this time to work on their cars. But now you have some crazy obstacles now that people I don't think can understand if they're fans is you're having a hard time getting parts. We've been told by Hoosier about getting tires. I really believe 2022 could be more trying because now you have guys that want to race. They have money and everybody's saying, let's go. They got no parts. And they got no tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're back to these limiting factors again. But you know, it was a very smooth transition, I think, for us. I mean, for Atomic, for the drivers locally. I mean, we all came back. Everybody said hi, and off we went. And it's kind of interesting. Y'all are familiar with, you know, kind of how the pits work and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of social activity, but for the most part, you know, I think it kind of kept people in their own little corners just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But then that kind of wore off when everybody felt safe and they, you know, had kind of come to terms with maybe just the state of our reality these days. And you know, it's kind of one of those, you know, you hear all the time in racing, it is what it is. Well, that's kind of what we have. And I think it definitely from a racer, everybody's just rolling with the punches. This comes up, fine, we'll deal with it. That comes up, fine, we'll deal with it. No parts, okay, fine, we'll deal with that. No tires, okay. I mean, everybody's trying, and, you know, people start getting on Hoosier, getting on the manufacturers. It's not their – it's a long line. I mean, it's a very tapered funnel, and it requires a lot of patience. And I tell people that all the time at the racetrack. Calm down, be patient, because it will work itself out. And we're just going to have to figure out how to get through it. I really do believe that 2022, we are cautiously optimistic, just because of the rising cost of things, the way inflation looks. You know, a lot of your top tier guys, your late model guys, your sprint car guys, they're business owners. You know, and when their businesses start, you know, kind of seeing a little bit of a tick back, you know, they tighten their purse strings up, and they tend to you know, if you do any demographic research on this, you know, they start tending to stay a little closer to home. You know, they're not going to drive 5 hours every weekend and just burn up the diesel there. They start being very cautious. And, you know, your local guys, their radius is a little smaller anyway, but, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. We can't wait to get going. We have so much cool stuff to come, but, you know, the economy and just how things go are definitely a concern for next year.
Yeah. Looking at the points for 2021, looking through some of these lists, you had quite a few big names come through Atomic Speedway. In the late models, you know, I'm seeing names like Tyler Erb, Devin Moran, you know, in the sprint cars, Jack Howdenshield's on there, Hunter Schoenberg, you know, Max Stambaugh, so Jimmy Owens, Tim McCready. So you guys have obviously put on some big shows at Atomic this year as well. In the sprint cars and the late models. How important is it to a racetrack like Atomic to get a touring series, a national touring series like World of Outlaw, All-Stars, Lucas Oil? How important is it to a track like you guys to get a series like that to the track to race even once a year?
It's huge. It's a stature thing. It really is. And I've talked to, like I mentioned Jim Neer before and when they owned it, and, you know, when we had talked about getting these series back as being a major goal for 2022, when we got the World of Outlaws, I mean, and what really sucks about this, when you're a track that gets something like that and it's such a gift, is then we can't tell anyone until they release their schedule. So, like, right. when we heard that we got this date, I'm, like, standing literally at the track with the guy that his name's Jay Helton that has done an amazing job of getting the track ready. I'm just like, dude, we can't tell anybody. This sucks. Like, what? How are we going to keep this? Like, I can't believe this. This is awful. It really does say a lot about your facility, because the World of Outlaws, you know, we had a couple gentlemen come visit our track because there were some concerns about the track with the last time that they were there, and they came and visited. Eric Walls and Tom Devitt. Eric Walls from the All Stars and Tom Devitt from the World of Outlaws. They came and visited, and we walked all around, and they looked at the track, and they loved the surface. It was great. It was after we had an event, and we hadn't really graded it, but it was still in just fantastic shape. And, you know, and they said, hey, you know, this is kind of what we're looking for, and these are some things that we need to see. And, you know, I'm like, you know, absolutely. It all made sense. It was all – everything was in the name of safety. They didn't ask for anything that was out of question or out of spec. And but, you know, they start asking some questions about your facility and can you be a good host, and can you have everything that you need? You know, when they come in, they're a pretty powerful traveling road show. They've got a lot of stuff. I mean, they've got big haulers and hospitality and you know, they have, you know, different national sponsors and different things. And you have to be ready and you have to be on your game. Now that's our fear. You know, now we've got these races back, you know, and the last thing you want to do is disappoint them. And you want to give them everything that they need so that you as in a partnership can succeed and that you can put on a great show and the fans have everything they need. And then you don't run out of chicken tenders and you know what I mean? And the beer keeps flowing. I mean, there's just so many small details that can become such big problems. There's already been a couple nights where I'll get up in the middle of the night and just start making notes. I'm like, all right, you know, we got to do this. We got to make this. I want to do this. And I'm just, I want to do a good job. This community just the response, if you look at our Facebook page or any of the response that we've gotten, our response from our fans is insane. And we do have, I mean, it's not a dink track. I mean, it's been rated a top five track, you know, multiple times in history as far as dirt track racing. I mean, it's legit. It's a big time place. And, you know, it's just because of the racing and the speed and, you know, the facility, we have a great pit. We're about to make the pits even better. We're pouring concrete pads. So, you know, these guys can come in and pit on concrete instead of rolling around in the dirt. Yeah. I mean, we look at it this way and I think a lot of other tracks do. We have two sets of customers that come in our gates. We have back gate customers and we have front gate customers. And they're very unique in what they want and what they expect. And you have to literally have a different marketing plan for each one. And that is a viable strategy. And that's something that we're going to try to do. And, you know, we got to have the racers to get the fans. And the racers love it when there's fans. And you were talking about the smaller series, you know, the big series, super important, have to have them. It's a stature thing. If I can say I'm a World of Outlaw track, and not just this year, but next year, 3 years, 5 years, and I hold them and they love it, maybe they give us another show. Same with Lucas. Lucas has been a great partner of Atomic with our spring race. You know, Rick Swally does a great job with that. And that's how we get those big, and sometimes they'll show up. We have big money races, you know, 20, 25,000, 50,000 to win races that, you know, bring those big names out. Like Larson, he's on the list. He was there. Mm-hmm. Rico. It's important to get them there. It's important because the fans now have this connection. And a lot of the fans, and I think that's, you, I heard you guys when I called in about talking about Larson, and, you know, that guy has bridged a gap for motorsports. NASCAR needs to like start sliding him 20s because he's, you know what I mean? Because you've got a faction of fans, regardless of why or how, kind of feel like they're not as well received as they once were. And Larson kind of puts things back in perspective and lets these local groups, you know, these blue collar communities, they feel in touch with him because he is there. He's talking to him. He's walking around the pits. I mean, he's a good dude. I mean, he's someone that he is a great role model for all of motorsports, you know, not just NASCAR, not just sprint cars. I mean, dude hops in anything. I mean, he could win a sailboat race. I mean, I'd love to see him race sailboats. I think it'd be interesting, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like he's such an anomaly and, you know, he's like, it's kind of like a Michael Jordan thing. It's funny, you know, maybe they should have got Kyle Larson. You'd have Jordan and Larson and you'd have like all this and it would have been just insane. But,
that's too many goats on
awesome.
One team.
It's awesome fun.
That's too many goats on one team, right?
Oh man.
You had mentioned a little bit ago and you just mentioned too about, redoing the pits, putting down concrete. It's awesome when we talk to these tracks. I live in Stark County, so our home track since I started this show, I've been great friends with the owners at Wayne County Speedway, and I've been out there a bunch of times. He is the same way that you are talking right now. He takes the money from the track, and he doesn't just put it in a savings account for himself. He puts it back into the track. So he's constantly every year putting money back into the track. Just like you were talking about, you guys are buying some acreage to make camping. You guys are redoing the pits to put concrete pads in. So guys have nice work areas. You're putting money back into the track, not just to attract the drivers, not just to attract the top touring series in the nation because they want to see that as well. But that's going to bring in the fans, which is going to bring in the money to help pay the drivers, to help get bigger payouts for races, to help bring in more drivers. So it all works together. And when you see a track taking the money and putting it back into the track, all it does is just makes all of those pieces of that wheel grind together, and it just makes the track that much more successful. We see a lot of these tracks, you know, every year you start the year off with, you know, these list of tracks have shut down because they just took the money and ran. But you see the successful tracks. We go to Jennerstown in Pennsylvania every year. We go to Lernerville. We go to Wayne County. You see those tracks like you were just talking about, putting the money back in. It's awesome to see that, and that's what keeps these tracks running.
Yeah, and it's really hard. I'll tell you, I mean, we're very fortunate, I think, with our structure and the way, you know, financially we can do that. We can put our money back in, and, you know, there's some people that have to live off the racetrack. You know what I mean? Like that's their bread and butter, and that's how they have to make their money. And that's what really makes it tough, because, you know, certain people can only take so many years of losses, and racetracks, it's like the standard 80-20 rule. You know, there's only about 20% of them that are making good money. You've got to put it back. I mean, you got to risk it. And, you know, and the good thing about a new venture is you're as motivated to the onset of something, you know, for the positive, to do what you can, because, you know, I was told by multiple people, because I'm a racer, I'm a business owner, you know, and I've been a fan. I'm not a real good fan, but, you know, everybody tells you, you know, don't run it like a racer. You know, you have to run it. It's got to live, you know, it's got to get its own legs. And it's not that you, like you just said, you don't need to suck it dry and do all this and do all that, but, it's got to evolve too. And I'll tell you something we're embracing, and I've heard a lot of people, and a lot of people just, they don't agree with me, but my background is in technology, and one of my businesses is technology, and we had better get real used to the streaming thing. And I am a firm believer that if we do our jobs as promoters and track owners, and we have an awesome streaming presence, and we show these people why they need to come, I'm going to be reaching people that never probably even knew about Atomic, that sees a Ferris wheel or an arcade, or, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, monkeys, I don't care what it is. It's my job to entice those people. You know, I don't like, you know, I watched Ohio State today. You know, does me watching the game make me not go? No, it doesn't. Like, I don't go because I don't want to be around 100,000 people every weekend. But except for at Atomic, that would be awesome.
Right.
But my whole point is, it's an experience. You know, I mean, this racetrack game is experience. What do I have to do to enhance the experience? The media, to me, the streaming media, is a glimpse of that. And it's my job that while they're watching that, when I watch Eldora, I want to be there. I mean, like, it's not – there's no, oh, man, I'm so glad I'm sitting – well, once I watched it from my hot tub. But either way, I just – you know, I mean, I think most people get that. You know, you're going to go see the races you're going to go see. If you're close enough, you're going to go watch it. You know, if you're sick and you get to watch it, great. But I'm going to get on the coattails of this streaming, of this technology. And it's like I told Michael Rigsby with Flow, I'm like, man, I want to be a leader. I said, as far as how technology goes, I want Atomic. I'll do the investment. Like, what do we got to do? How do we take this whole thing, you know, and just keep stepping the game up to the point of where, you know, people want to be there. And we can, that's our jobs. That's our jobs as owners and promoters is to evolve and figure it out. You know, if you're smart enough that you have the money to get a racetrack, you damn well be smart enough to get some people in the stands. And if not, you're the guy that's going to be closed up in a few years, and we'll see where we fall into that.
Yeah. So let's get to 2022, and I'll let you talk about whatever you can. I'm not going to, you know, obviously ask you or press you for anything that you don't want to announce yet. But I know several things have been announced already. And we are talking with Charlie Vest of Atomic Speedway. here on the, he's joining us tonight on the Barbasol Shea phone lines. Charlie, people can find Atomic Speedway online, atomicspeedway.net. You guys have a Facebook page, Twitter account as well. So you guys are active in the social media. And if you go back and look at some of their social media stuff, you can see some of the announcements that you have made. All of this investment, all of this time that you guys have put in has started to pay off, Charlie. And what can fans expect in 2022? What should be some dates maybe that they should circle, or what should be some months next year that they should keep open, because you guys are going to have some big shows next year?
Well, it starts off the second week of March. We actually have the Lucas Oil Show, which is an amazing show. And you're always playing with fire in the Midwest in March. And it's a Friday show. But it's a great show. We actually have a really cool, we just did a 24-hour enduro like 3 weeks ago. This is completely on the other side of the spectrum of large national series. But it was insane and it was awesome. I actually went when we were in Charlotte and I told someone, oh yeah, we're the ones about Atomic. This guy was like, you guys just had that 24-hour race. And I was like, yeah. And people like all over the country, we had a guy from Florida, we had a guy from Oregon, like come and do the race. And, that's going to be the second weekend. We're going to do a 500-lap enduro race as a kind of a precursor to the end of the year when we do our 24-hour race again. And I want to knock that thing out of the park. And I'm going to award people for big car counts. I mean, we get a crazy car count, I'm going to throw a crazy purse on it. And it, because it's worth it for all of us to do that. Then we have our Outlaw late model show. Which is, you know, an awesome show, and it's in April, and Casey Schumann. Do you guys get to talk to a lot of these series guys, or do you guys communicate with them a whole lot?
Not as much as I would like to. Some of them are hard to get a hold of, and we're
Man,
just a little
you,
show.
I, well, you know what? They will trust me. I was an absolute nobody, and these guys have really been more than generous. Casey Schumann with the World of Outlaw Late Models, great guy. I mean, he has been so helpful, and they've been so kind with their time and everything that they've given us. Carlton Ramers with the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, he's an awesome dude. Like, he's really helped us out. We sat and had a great talk when we were in Charlotte. We deal with Ross Paulson with the All-Stars, and you guys should really talk to these guys because they're great guys, and they have a very complicated job, and I would not want to do what they do. But almost every month we have 17 special shows, and then in May we have the Ironman series, which is a great series that Chris Tilley does a great job, and we're doing the on Mother's Day weekend. I believe it's like the 5th and 6th. We're doing the Bo's Extravaganza. We're gonna have Bo Duke in for like 3 days, running he runs a modified. It'll be like 3 days of concerts and the Duke Museum and Mopar stuff everywhere. And it's just, it's a phenomenal, yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. That's where this camping all plays in. Then we have Memorial Day weekend as our sprint car show. We're going to run a Friday night before, that way we can get everybody there. Anybody that wants to kind of do a tune and get there ahead of time, our local guys. And that's something that a lot of the big series want. They want those local guys to show up. You know, they want they need them. Everybody needs the car count. So, you know, 18 of the fastest sprint car guys in the world is amazing and is awesome. But everybody else is welcome. And I hope they come because the World of Outlaws are greatly appreciative of those people coming, and so are the tracks. And we have, let's go to June. We have our first All-Star show, June 4th, which was crazy that we even got one. And then we follow that up. We're hoping maybe the TBD will be us for June 3rd and 4th. We'll see what happens there. I'm not going to look the gift horse in the mouth. We're super thankful for what we've gotten. But we have a June 15th Speed Week show, which is going to be awesome. We keep ripping through. We're going to have some monster truck shows. I'm trying to get a tractor pull. We're going to run a road course, dirt road course, and we're going to integrate a autocross track with, like, jumps and stuff. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the autocross racing at the fairgrounds, but
Wow. They're
awesome, and they're fun, and the fans love them because they are just insane. So we're going to run, like, we're going to run the Legends cars. I forgot about mentioning. We're going to bring the Legends cars back, and we're going to run them this year, which those are a lot of fun. And that's the other thing is, since I'm a racer and I've raced all different things, a Legends car is about as much fun as you can have in a race car. Those things are wicked fun. And I'm just so ecstatic to have them back. And I hope they come in masses because I really want them there multiple times. We've scheduled a lot of shows with them this year. And, you know, we're going to have 10 or 11 305 shows. We have like 8 or 10 of the Legends shows. But the road course thing, you guys should come down and be a part of that. I think you would dig it. It's really, really cool. go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Keep going.
I get on a roll about this stuff because I get excited. The schedule, it's taken so long to come around and get it done. And then we have our normal big races. We have the OVSCA Sprint Car Series, the Fast Sprint Car Series. You know, they have multiple shows and still all of our special shows that we run with them all through July. We're running every weekend. I think I've got 32 or 33 races on the schedule. September 28th, we're running one of the big Castrol shows with Flo. And I'm really wanting, like I said, to really step up with Flo, and I hope we do a good job for them. And iRacing, we're going to be an iRacing track. I can't wait, you know, until that thing hits, because that's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, there's about 37,000 irons in the fire, and we're really just kind of throwing handfuls of things at the wall and seeing what sticks. So, you know, you won't always hit home runs, but you at least have to give it a swing.
Well, I am definitely, I mean, you've got me excited for the 2022 racing season already. When can people expect maybe to have that schedule up on the website? I know you just finished this year and you guys want a little off season, take a little break. I'm assuming maybe after the first of the year, people can come to the website and they can start seeing some of the updates and see the updated schedule and get an idea of what to maybe circle on their calendar.
Well, actually, I'm hoping to release it, if not right before, right after PRI. I've got some important meetings at PRI that the schedule could be contingent upon, but I'd really like to get it out. I've got a lot of people asking about season passes. We have a great VIP section. Like, if you guys ever wanted to come and do a show during one of the races or, you know, any time in the middle of the week if we're doing a test and tune or anything like that, you guys are more than welcome to come any time. But I need to get these events out because I've got – my schedule is 97% done. I mean, I really just have a couple of things, and we know that these different groups are coming. We're just trying to kind of finalize the dates, and I want to get it out as soon as I possibly can. I don't feel right taking season pass money until they see what they're getting. You know, I mean, I want to show them the value of the dollar and the value of why they're coming and all the things that we're trying to get accomplished, you know, for the fans, because when you start talking about that, that's what you're talking about. So as long as everything will come together quickly in the next couple of weeks, and like I said, heading into PRI, I'd love to get it out. That way people can buy season passes as Christmas presents and VIP passes and, you know, camping spots and all that good stuff. We're excited, and we have so much work to do. It's really actually insane how much work we have to do. And it's kind of like I just wanted the season to end when we took over, just because I just, you know, there was so much anxiety about the whole thing and how it all went down. And now I've got a bunch of anxiety about, even though we have all this work to do, I just want to get that first race in. I don't care what it is. I don't care if we have to race horses. I just want to do a race. I just want to have an event. And we just had so much momentum at the end of the year. I just want to capitalize on that momentum and you know, get back and get doing what we love to do and have everybody at the racetrack, because I think everybody will be real excited for what we have for them.
Well, you've got me excited already, and I can't wait to come down and check out the racetrack and the facilities. I definitely will be trying to plan to get down there. It's about a 3.5-hour drive So it's definitely going to take some planning for me to get down there. But I would love to come down in 2022 and check it out, check out the racing, meet you, and meet some of the people. You know, I've been talking to Dave. He's the one that kind of got this whole thing set up. So I appreciate Dave for doing that. And I appreciate.
That's a funny story, Dave. Dave is a funny story. I know we got to wrap up, I'm sure, but I'm just going to give you a little synopsis. Dave's dad, Gary, is Danny Smith's crew chief. And I kind of met Dave kind of by default. Well, Dave was kind of being my crew chief and helping me because I'm out for lunch as a driver and I just needed somebody to make sure that, you know, try to get the wheels back on it when I bring it back in. And when the track thing went down, I needed a race director and I didn't know what to do. And Dave's a pretty smart guy. I was like, hey, you want to be a race director? And he was kind of like, sure. I mean, literally that's how the conversation went. And I put Dave in some real bad positions. And luckily he's been super patient with us, but I'm telling you, the guy's hit his groove. I mean, he's really found something that he's very good at. Our shows fly. There were nights, you know, it was getting to be 9 o'clock and we were almost done. And I mean, we moved the show along. We do not play around when it comes to, you know, trying to hit the time and hit our marks. And he's what really stinks though is now I'm going to want to go racing and Dave's going to be race directing. So, we're going to have to figure that out and maybe find some more race directors or something, but he does a phenomenal job. And, we had a great time. We went to Charlotte and talked to a lot of people and just had a lot of positive feedback. And I can't thank, you know, guys like Dave enough, you know, for what they do, especially when you just kind of thrust them in a real, real crappy position and they come out, you know, like a shiny, I mean, he does a phenomenal job. And, you know, people are now like, hey, man, who was the race director on that one night? Like, that guy was awesome. And that's Dave. I mean, he's really knocked it out of the park, and he does a great job.
Well, it was funny because he tweeted me during Massillon McKinley week right before the game because I was at the game. and he's like, I didn't know there was other dirt racing fans in Stark County. I'm like, Dave, I've been here for like years.
whoa.
You know.
No. Let's be honest. No, you were not a dirt fan until I made you go to a dirt race.
A few years ago. But, yeah, so Dave kind of got the whole thing started with you and I, and I appreciate him for wanting to get you on the show. I love it when I have people reach out to me to come on the show because it helps kind of, you know, boost my confidence a little bit because we are just a little show. And I appreciate guys like you taking time out of a Saturday night to come on the show and talk to us about the racetrack and about dirt racing. So I definitely appreciate you coming on tonight.
No problem. I appreciate you guys giving us the time and allowing us just to kind of allow me to just ramble and, you know, kind of get everything out. I've been kind of cooped up. We haven't raced for a week, so I'm starting to get antsy already. It's awesome. And like I said, I love having the online, all the shows. I mean, you guys, I was listening to your show. I love your show. And Dave's like, hey, you know, have you ever heard of these guys? And I don't really do, like, I have to post on Facebook, but I'm not a Facebook guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not, I kind of do my own deal and I'm not, you know, real in tune with everyone else. And, so when he's asking me all these, you know, and I'm like, dude, I'll look at it, you know, we'll see. And but I love your show. It's great. I mean,
I'm
definitely a new fan and I'll start tuning in. And while I'm, you know, now with everything that I'm doing, I've got an office here at the house and, you know, I can put that stuff on and, you know, listen to it while I'm working, doing paperwork and all that good stuff. So, I thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, we'll definitely have you on the show again. And like I said, we'll definitely be coming down next year to check out the racetrack and check out some racing and get to meet all of you guys in person. So Charlie, thank you again for coming on, taking some time to talk to us. I hope you have a great off season and can't wait to see you guys next year at the track.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You guys take it easy and we'll see you soon.
All right. Have a great holiday season and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, everybody, that was Charlie Vest of Atomic Speedway. We thank him for coming on tonight and talking to us about the Speedway and, you know, diving into the history of the track, how 2021 went, the future of the track in 2022. A lot of big things coming up for that track, and it sounds like they are putting a lot of money into the track as well to get more fans there, more racing, more big races. So that is awesome. We love seeing that. Christina and I talk all the time about these small town short tracks. I mean, that's what the show is about. That's what we love talking about. And Atomic Speedway is the definition of a small town short track. So we thank them for taking the time to come on the show. Christina, let's take a quick 60-second break. When we come back, we'll try and jump into some more headlines that we've got. We've got some dirt racing champions. We've got a few other NASCAR champions. We've got some hockey going on. So we'll go ahead and take a quick 60-second break. On the other side of that break, Christina and I will talk a little more sports. Until the end of the show, and then we'll wrap it up for 2021. So keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right, we are back. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game, heard only live on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. Christina, welcome back. We had Charlie on for almost an hour. He was joining us. A lot
There's
to talk about.
That.
No, a lot to talk. I mean, we've never had him on the show. It's the first time we've talked to Charlie. First time we've talked about Atomic Speedway with somebody from the track. So it was great to talk to him and find out more about the Speedway down there.
I like the passion. You know, that's the best part about having people like Charlie on the show. His passion shows in when he talks about it, because he doesn't stop talking, and that's the best part about it. And I mean, I grew up with all of this. You know this. Anyone that has known me in the 30 some years I've been alive knows this is what I grew up with. I've seen so many tracks do the opposite of what's going on in Atomic, and it broke my heart growing up seeing some of the tracks I went to, you know, with my grandparents when my grandpa was racing and everything, not even exist anymore, and everything. So it's great to see, and it's the best part about it. I mean, I don't know if Charlie realizes I'm in Florida, so me getting to Atomic is going to be quite an interesting task. I mean,
wow.
Yes, folks, I do know that that's what airplanes are made for and stuff. Yeah, that's not the problem. My work schedule, my day job might be the problem. As we all know, the forklift business has not slowed down. It actually got way crazier with that. And what he was saying about, you know, it's hard to get tires and parts, that is no lie. We are experiencing the same issues in where I work, actually. You know, there's big delays, and some parts are backordered for 60 to 80 days.
Crazy.
Which is very unheard of. And we work for a Toyota dealership, so that's even worse. You know, when, you know, your main dealership, like you're buying Toyota parts and it's backordered. So, I mean, what he's saying is very true across the whole country. There's issues and stuff. But, I mean, hey, if I can do it, I will. It's just going to take a lot. A lot of planning on my part and a lot of saving extra money on my part, too.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But if anything, if anyone's available in January and February, I mean, you want to get away from the cold, you can come to Volusia. That's closer. But no, all kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, I enjoyed hearing from him. It was great to hear from, you know, somebody that involved in a racetrack, and he still races too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the points list for the 410 sprint. And he said they're going to be adding 305s. That's Christina, we talk about all the time.
That's my alley, man. That's,
yeah.
That was my alley for many years.
It's almost the forgotten series of sprints, you know, 410s.
Yeah.
Everything's a 410. You know, the Outlaws, the All-Stars, mm-hmm. Lucas Oil sprints. I mean, they're all 410s. So the Fast Series is trying to revive that 305 and get it back. And you think about, you know, a 14, 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid who wants to get into sprint car racing. You don't want them jumping right into a 410. So,
please,
you know,
no.
Start
it's,
out at the 305.
Oof.
You know,
that would
just
be a
like,
crazy situation.
Right. Just like Trey that we had on the show a few weeks ago, Trey Jacobs. You know, he said he drove a 305 for a year and a half and then kind of jumped right up to the 410s. So there's plenty of...
And that's normal.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of big things to happen to Atomic. So make sure you write down atomicspeedway.net. That is their website. And you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter as well. So keep up with them throughout the rest of this year and watch for all of those updates to their schedule and everything else that they've got planned for 2022. Christina, you talked about Toyota. Let's talk about Toyota because Toyota got two of the three championships this year. Again, Kyle Larson playing spoiler. Kyle Larson driving Chevy gets that Cup Series championship. But we saw Ben Rhodes of the Truck Series get the championship there for Thor Sport in a Toyota, and the Daniel Hemric getting a championship in the Xfinity Series. Driving a Toyota. So Toyota seeing a lot of success in the lower series, just not that championship. A couple years in a row now, Chevy has won the championship in the Cup Series. So what are your thoughts real quick on Ben Rhodes and Daniel Hemric winning it in those two lower series?
How fitting that the only win the kid gets all year is the one he has to win for a title. Daniel Hemric couldn't get a win all freaking year.
Yeah.
And then gets the win at Phoenix. So, I mean, this is why I don't like the way the point... not going to say it. Yeah, I am. This is the reason as to why this point series... The way this point, whatever you want to call it, is, this is why I don't like it. And this is why a lot of people don't like it. This is why. I don't give a flying monkey butt that he's won. He's finished second 10 times. He's finished second 10 times because he wasn't good enough to win those 10 times. So, I mean, I don't, that's just my opinion. My opinion doesn't really go for much, you know, on the market, but that's okay. And Ben Rhodes, oh my God, who gave him alcohol? How much alcohol did he consume before his interview?
That was the
craziest thing.
That was funny.
That was crazy.
I want to talk about Noah Gregson. Finished third in the points.
That was very emotional.
He finished third in the points, with 8 DNFs on the year, Christina. 8 DNFs. Imagine if he had only had 2 or 4, like the two that finished ahead of him. You know, and he still has 3 wins on the year. So Austin Cindric with 5 wins on the year. So A.J. Allmendinger, 5 wins on the year.
Yeah, but he fell apart when it came to the playoffs. That's what happened. A.J. won the regular series championship. I mean, that was a checkers situation. That was real wreckers there. But, you know, to beat, you know, Austin Cindric for that title. But he just didn't I don't know. He didn't have it in the playoffs. There's some things that went really wrong for that. I don't know if it was just him getting in his own head, kind of what happened there with AJ. I don't know. But let's be honest, if Noah Gregson could have gotten through some Daytona bullshit without, you know, I mean, Daytona was terrible to him. Now, just think about it. The beginning of the year, it was not looking good for that 9 crew. And then, bam, the end of the year, it's like if he wasn't winning, he was 2nd or 3rd. I mean, it was amazing to see. And, I mean, he got really emotional when they interviewed him because he wanted that win because, you know, he's got such a great bond, crew chief, and that was their final race together. And I could, you know, he's come a long way. You know, some people would say otherwise. But that's okay. They can hate all they want.
Yeah.
There's haters and everything in life. So hate all you want. But he's improved. He's come a long way. And, I mean, we'll see what next year will hold for the 9 team. And Noah, he's here in Florida right now, actually. You know, doing some stuff. So it's the off season. It's time for him to relax, let loose a little, and everything. But all in all, it's been an interesting NASCAR season.
Yes, it was. So congratulations to Ben Rhodes, Daniel Hemric, and Kyle Larson, all winning championships this year. Congratulations to those guys in the NASCAR series. Let's switch to dirt real quick, Christina. We've only got about 25 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about champions. And there has been some news that has broke here in the last day or two. We'll talk about that real quick as well and kind of get your take on it, 'cause I know that you heard about it. You're in tune with it. So we'll ask you, but first let's talk about the World of Outlaw late models. We'll talk about them first. They wrapped up the season. No surprise, Brandon Shepherd wins the championship. 8 wins on the year. Finished with earnings of over $250,000 for Mr. Brandon Shepherd and that team. Chris Madden coming in 2nd with the 4 wins. 4 wins on the year. That's still not a bad season. Chris Madden has nothing to hang his head about. He is racing the late model king in the World of Outlaws. So, Brandon Shepherd, congratulations on your win in the World of Outlaws, Morton Building late models. And then Christina, on the opposite side of the late models, the Lucas Oil late models, Mr. Tim McCready gets the win there. He finished the season with 5 wins. He didn't even have the most wins on the year for Lucas Oil, Christina, but he finished with the most points. That's all that matters.
Consistency pays off.
Yes, he had 5 wins. Hudson O'Neill in 2nd had 6 wins. Jonathan Davenport in 3rd had 7 wins, but he has 3 less features than Mr. Tim McCready as well. So in the late model series, Christina, we have Tim McCready, a champion in the Lucas Oil, and Brandon Shepherd, a champion in the World of Outlaws. Your thoughts real quick, takes on that, surprised. I know you're not surprised, your quick take on both of those men getting the championships in their respected series.
Well, just like, you know, some drivers started off really cold in the season, because let's be honest, Shepherd was not the top dollar there. at the beginning of the year, and we didn't see him win right away either. But lo and behold, the cream always rises to the top. That's no shock on either division. And consistency in both sides pays off. That's the biggest factor in these two late model divisions. If you're consistent, it doesn't matter how many wins you have. As long as you're consistent and you are podium week in and week out, night after night, that's what's going to get you the big check and the big, you know, trophy at the end of the year. That's what paid
off. He might not have had the most wins on the Lucas Oil side, but Tim McCready had 27 top fives, 32 of 39 races he was in the top 10. 27 top fives was almost twice as many as Hudson O'Neill. So, yeah, that's where you talk about the consistency. He might not have had the most wins, but he had almost 30 top fives out of 39 races. So yes, consistency wins championships, just like in your stick and ball sports, they always say defense wins championships. In motorsports, consistency will win you a championship. On the flip side of this, Christina, somebody who is out of a late model ride as of, I believe, yesterday or maybe Thursday, the news broke that Clint Bowyer's Lucas Oil Dirt team is going to be out. Josh Richards, I believe it was Josh Richards, is not going to be driving for Clint Bowyer next year. He had two wins on the year, one in the Lucas Oil, one in the World of Outlaws. He is obviously a Lucas Oil full-timer. 39 features, one win. Dismal, dismal top five, top tens. Not a very successful year. Finished top 10 in the points, not a very good showing in that Lucas Oil late model. Christina, Josh Richards out. Your take on this? Surprise? Is this something maybe you're more in tune to the late model side of things? Is this something that Clint Bowyer goes through drivers? How long has Josh been with Clint Bowyer? I'm not that familiar with this situation.
I honestly, if I'm not mistaken, it's only the second driver to run in that car, period, since it's existed. But I'm not shocked. No, I honestly thought it was going to come at the midpoint of the season, honestly. But it didn't. It came after the season. And that's the thing. I mean, let's mirror the two. Clint Bowyer's racing team and Stuart Haas. I'm just saying, same situation. Not at all what either was expecting to have happen. And by any feat, Josh Richards is not a bad driver. Josh Richards is an amazing driver. I mean, I'm just saying, he's a great driver. He just doesn't, I don't know, maybe it's Bowyer, the way they set up the cars, maybe, you know, there could have been anything that could have caused whatever. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You move on, and Josh Richards will be in another car, and Clint Bowyer's late model will have somebody else in it next year. Just wasn't a good fit for either one, I think.
I'm sure that I doubt that Clint Bowyer will have trouble finding somebody to drive for him.
Oh, no.
So we definitely will be keeping
an eye on that. I mean, my summer can be pretty wide open if you want. I mean, I'm available.
Yes. Yes, let's do it. And then I'll be your crew chief or spotter or PR person, whatever you need. sprint cars. We talked a few weeks ago because the All-Star season was over with one of our last shows that we did. So we talked about Mr. Sunshine wrapping up the All-Star Championship. At that time, the championship, the points battle in the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series was getting pretty heated. And then it kind of cooled off. And Brad Sweet kind of walked away with it. He finished the season with 16 wins. And an 80-point gap between him and David Gravel. David Gravel, Carson Macedo, both finishing with 11 wins. and finishing second and third respectively. Donnie Schatz getting his three wins for the year. And then we have, where did this guy come from? He is the Kevin Harvick of the World of Outlaws, I guess, because Logan Schuchart finally decided in October, oh, hey, there is a race season. Maybe I should win a few races. And he goes out and wins.
But he at least won.
He got like five wins in between a month and a half. And he finishes top five in the points.
That's more than Kevin Harvick had.
Well, that is. But he got seven wins. He got seven wins on the year. And I feel like five of them came in the last month of racing. And he got enough to pass Sheldon Haldenshield. Sheldon had eight on the year and finished sixth in points. So quite a crazy season for the sprint cars. Not so much crazy as in a lot of movement in the standings, but just a crazy sprint car season with the amount of wins.
A lot of crazy finishes. There's a lot of crazy finishes. The tire situation was crazy. Let's be honest. Leading the race, so many people, poor Sheldon wants to forget about the tire problem.
Yeah, but he's going to move on.
Oof, there's a lot of that, happening. So it was a crazy year, a good year, but no shock as to who wins. It was like the third year in a row, I think. Fourth, I don't know. I lost track.
Three in a row. Three.
Okay. Well, hopefully not four. Maybe the big game, maybe big game in the off season. I mean, after Cody heals up, they'll figure out a way to beat him next year.
I was just going to say, David Gravel might not have gotten the driver's championship, but his first year crew chief is the brother of the man that we had on the show a few weeks ago who got a championship at Attica. Trey Jacobs' brother Cody is the crew chief for David Gravel, and he himself won a few awards from the World of Outlaws this year, including crew chief of the year. And then he was in a bad.
I hope he takes the wrench to dinner, so we can really compare trophies.
We gotta get him on the show now. We gotta ask him what
we'll
it's
wait
like.
Till he heals.
Yeah, but he was. If everybody could pray for Cody. He was in a pretty bad ATV accident in, I think, Iowa or something like that, you know, on vacation, whatever. Had to have surgery on his jaw, broke a bunch of ribs. He is doing okay, but he's sore, to say the least.
He's in Des Moines.
Okay. So we as a show, send our prayers out to Cody, the Jacobs family. Mm-hmm. Thinking about you right before Thanksgiving, Christina. So we hope that he heals up
crazy.
Good and gets back to it. But prayers for Cody and anybody listening, please say a prayer or two for him.
Yikes!
Yeah, he had
so
to have surgery.
Broken jaw, eight broken ribs, and a fractured vertebrae. But Dean said the surgery did go well to fix his jaw. Just the jaw surgery. That's all that Dean said went well. So I'm sure they didn't do – well, you can't really do surgery on broken ribs. He's just going to have to nurse those bad boys for a good bit because, I mean, there's nothing really they can do for broken ribs. Trust me, had a wrestler in the family. It's not pretty when they break. It hurts. It hurts
yeah.
to breathe. So I can imagine the pain he's in. And hopefully, you know – fingers crossed, they all take care of him, heal him up. We'll see. Trey can, you know, take care of him a little bit here in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yep. Our prayers will go out to him. So, Christina, we had 2020 flew by. That is all of our champions in the World of Outlaws, Lucas, NASCAR. All of the champions from the small town short tracks across the country from Lernerville to Port Royal to Williams Grove to Jennerstown to Wayne County, Attica, and Atomic, and all the racetracks in between. Seems like a very successful year. Mother Nature didn't seem to hinder too much this year. No.
April was an asshole the year before, so.
Yeah. April was kind of touch and go for a lot of tracks, but I mean, that's the northeast part of the country. April, May, it's kind of wet. But for the most part, Christina, it was a very successful 2021, and it flew by. It's over.
Yeah, it is, but it's not officially over. I mean, we have USAC racing going on right now, as we know. If you're paying attention out in California, out of Placerville Speedway, you're seeing two NASCAR drivers who didn't get enough racing yet. Two Hendrick drivers that are actually out there racing it. And if you guess Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson, you'd be right. So they're out there racing. If I'm not mistaken, I do follow Alex Bowman. He's a funny guy. On Twitter and Instagram, and I believe he was at a racetrack last night too. Not this one, totally different kind of, like, I think it was like demolition derby kind of stuff like Charlie was talking about earlier. I mean, these guys are still finding a way to get in some racing, and Volusia's racing right now, which is about 4 hours north of me.
Well, yes, I mean, not all racing is completely over, but for the most part...
we don't live in a cold state like you do.
Yeah, I know. It's 70 degrees down there. You guys are freezing. Christina, it's been a great season, though. It's been a great year. I'm excited that we were able to do this again. I can't wait to come back in 2022 and do it all over again. Who knows? We might have a show in December just to do something on a weekend in December. You guys will just have to watch our Facebooks and Twitters and all of that stuff. Do you have a penalty box pick for tonight? I forgot all about it till just now.
No, because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole tonight.
All right. Well,
we
Antonio Brown,
to
you can sit
hole.
In it tonight. For your fake COVID vaccination card.
He is innocent until proven guilty, folks. That's why we have a justice system.
Yes,
just so you know.
But he can sit in there anyway, just to keep it warm.
Well, yeah.
So, Christina, thank you to – let's shout out real quick all the sponsors that were with us for this year. Obviously, Barbasol, they've been on board since the very beginning. Thank you to Barbasol. I actually have some gifts I need to get sent out to some of the people that participated in the Pick'em Challenge this year, you know.
Except for Jeremy. He doesn't get anything.
Except for Jeremy. All right, we'll give Tasha Jeremy's. I got a trophy to deliver as well. But thank you, Barbasol, for being part of the show again this year and sponsoring the phone lines. Without it, we wouldn't have had Charlie on. We wouldn't have had Trey on. I wouldn't have Christina with me every weekend. So thank you, Barbasol. Thank you. 357 Woodworks. They've been on for a couple years. They sponsor the studio that we come from every weekend. And Christina, I'll let you shout this one out. Hardcore Fishing Game. They came on in 2021, but they jumped on board for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't thank Chuck and them enough. It's really cool to have an old friend from, you know, the NASCAR days of Slicks and Sticks back involved in the shows, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm grateful for them. I'm actually grateful for every little sponsor we have. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. It's cool to have sponsors and people that actually let you speak your mind and don't censor you.
Yes.
Best part.
Yes. A big shout out to Racer Chase and Apparel. Amanda, she's been a friend of the show for a long time, and so go check out racerchasingapparel.com and look at some of the clothes that she custom makes down there. She lives down in Florida now too, so check her out. Also, thank you to Margazzano Designs. Check out if you have any ideas or if you need a custom-made a gift for this holiday season, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas. Check out Margazzano Designs on Facebook. You can also do that with 357 Woodworks. If you need something custom made for a gift idea, maybe a charcuterie board or a cutting board or something like that along those lines, check out 357 Woodworks as well for something custom made. Jamie Kelly, Realty, she was part of the show this year. Margazzano Designs, 357 Woodworks, all of our sponsors, thank you for making 2021 special. And Christina, thanks to all our special guests that we had on this year as well.
Yeah, it's been a great year. I may pop on from time to time and do a hockey show, you know, with Slicks and Sticks, depending on how my schedule goes. I mean, next weekend's going to be crazy for me, and I mean, it's almost the month of December, but I'm going to try my best to do a few things. We'll see if that actually happens. But no, it was a great year. I appreciate, you know, everyone still loving dirt racing and racing in general and every other sport we've covered. I mean, I know not a lot about football and stuff, but I mean, I managed it. I'm pretty sure I did all right.
Well, we will definitely be having some more pick'em challenges coming up here as soon. So again, watch our social media for that stuff. I might even come on a Friday or Saturday in December and have a special show where we talk about what we're going to do with the NFL playoffs, hockey, stuff like that. So be watching for that. And other than that, Christina, thank you to you. Thank you to you and Slicks and Sticks for providing the network for us to come live every weekend to all of our race fans and provide them with the show.
My pleasure. You know, little college project still going strong. About, I don't know, too many years later. But, I mean, it's fun to talk sports with friends and just be able to have a good time, and that's what it's all about. And, I mean, we meet really cool people along the way. Blessed, to say the least, and hopefully many more to come. And, I mean, next weekend we'll celebrate my birthday and, you know, have Thanksgiving before it. You know, well, no, my birthday comes first. And then we'll have Thanksgiving, and then, you know, man, it'll be December already. It's crazy. The year flew by, but it's all been fun. And, you know, thanks to you too, Pete. You've been on the ride for a long time, and hopefully we keep on rocking and talking some racing because, I mean, the dirt's still going to fly.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited about 2022. Hopefully we get some more companies to come on board and be partners of the show. Hopefully we get to go to a few more different racetracks next year as well. I'm looking forward to maybe getting down to Atomic Speedway. Not maybe, definitely getting down to Atomic Speedway next year and checking out some of their races as well. So I'm excited. I'm so happy that we were able to come back this year. The year flew by, but I enjoyed it. And I thank you for sticking around and helping me. Also, we can't leave out the most important people, Christina, and that's the fans. The fans and the friends of the show that help make us what we are. We do this for them. We do it for the small town short tracks, and we appreciate them being friends and fans of the show and making us their number one source for small town short track news and updates. So big shout out to the fans.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that the fans get excited for the penalty box. I mean, and that's even better that somebody likes when I get pissed off and, you know, go on a rant for 45 minutes, because that's kind of what would have happened tonight. But like I said, we don't have time to go down that rabbit hole.
We need, Christina, we've got to work in the off season. We need a penalty box sponsor. And we need like stickers or something made so that when somebody gets picked for the penalty box, we can send them a sticker and say, "Hey, you just spent a weekend in the Fastlane Sports Show penalty box. Here's a sticker." So no, I'm excited for next year. I'm happy for this year. I think it was great. It was awesome. And I'm ready to enjoy the holidays and enjoy family time and not be cold, though.
Then you need to come to Florida, because I don't think you're not going to be cold in Ohio, because I'm pretty sure it's really cold up there. I don't miss any of that. That's the one thing about the North I really do not miss, period. Cold and snow. Don't miss either one.
Yep. Definitely it's that time of year. So, well, Christina, I guess that does it. We've thanked our friends, our families, our fans. We've thanked our sponsors, our special guests. We've thanked everybody. I've thanked you. And so I hope that you and Jim have a very happy holidays, Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great winter and a happy new year. And I'm sure we will come on, like I said, we'll try and come on in a Friday or Saturday in December. I'll have one show where we talk about what's coming up for next year. But if not, we will definitely be back the second weekend of January. Because I'm not coming back on January 1st. So we will come back the second weekend of January and start Season 4, the Fast Lane Sports Show. Hopefully, it'll still be presented by Hardcore Fish and Games. So, Christina, tell Jim I said hi. Give him a big hug for me, and happy holidays to both of you.
Thanks. You guys, too, you know, get Katie some Starbucks. You know, she needs it. She deserves it and everything, too. But I'll talk to you guys on the flip side. Be safe, everyone out there. Enjoy your holidays. Hug each other. And remember, don't take every day for granted, because tomorrow's not promised. So with that, I bid you all a good night and a happy holidays. And I'll see y'all in January. I'm ready for the dirt supply. Let's go.
All right. Everybody, that was my co-host for this year. Again, that was Christina signing off for 2021. It's been a great year. Thank you for coming along on the ride with us. Hopefully you'll be back next year to start season 4 with us. So have a very happy holidays. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy new year. We will talk to everybody in 2022. Until then, be safe and be warm, and we'll talk to you next year. For Christina, I'm your host, Pete. This has been the final episode of 2021 of the Fast Lane Sports Show, presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. See ya!